The Audience of All Prayers by Thomas Shepard, 1605 to 1649. Thomas Shepard was an English Puritan who, forbidden to preach by Bishop Laud, sailed to the Massachusetts colony in 1635. Named among his descendants are two American presidents, John Quincy Adams and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This brief exhortation is from the larger work, The Sincere Convert and the Sound Believer, or Volume 1 of the works of Thomas Shepard, which, sadly, is out of print. That's Dr. Gerald Mick, the editor. This is the first benefit, which, though it be a fruit of other benefits, yet I name it in special, because I desire first that it might be specially observed. And I place it after our sanctification, because of David's speech. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18. And that of the apostle. We believe whatever we ask, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. As the Lord hath respect to the prayers of his people, not only in regard of their justification, but in some sense in regard of their sanctification also, a justified person, polluted with some personal or common sins of the times, may want that audience and acceptance of his prayers I am now speaking of. That God will hear all the petitions of his people, can there lie a greater privilege than this? Yet this our Savior affirms twice together, because it is so great a promise that we can hardly believe it. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Mark the scope of the words. Our Savior had promised that he that believes in me shall do greater works than I have done. Now, because this might seem strange and impossible, the Lord in those verses tells them how, for saith he, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. I will do indeed all that is to be done, but yet shall be by means of your prayers. Christ did great works when he was upon the earth, but for him to do whatever a poor sinful creature shall desire him to do, what greater work of wonder can there be than this? This is our confidence, saith the apostle, that whatever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. The greatest question here will be, what are those prayers the Lord Jesus will hear? I confess, many things are excellently spoken of this way, yet I conceive the meaning of this great charter is fully expressed in those words, in my name. If they be prayers in Christ's name, they shall be heard. And it contains these three things. Number one, to pray in Christ's name is to pray with reliance upon the grace, favor, and worthiness of the merits of Christ. Thus this phrase is used. To walk in the name of their God is in confidence of the authority and excellency and favor of their God, that they will bear them out in it. So to pray in Christ's name is to pray for Christ's sake. Thus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, through him, i.e. through his death and sanctification rested upon, we have access with confidence to the Father, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. There are three evils that commonly attend our prayers when we see God indeed. Letter A, shame and flight from God. The apostle saith therefore that by faith in Christ we have access. Letter B, if we do accede and draw near to him, There is a secret fear and straightness of spirit to open all our minds. Therefore, saith he, we have boldness. The word signifies liberty of speech to open all our minds without fear or discouragement. Letter C. After we have thus drawn near and opened all our desires and means before God, we have many doubts. Will the Lord hear such a sinner and such weak and imperfect and sinful prayers? And therefore he also affirms that we have confidence and assurance of being heard. But all this is by faith in him. For look, as Christ hath purchased all blessing for us by his death, and hence makes his intercession for those things daily, according to our need. So we are much more to rest upon and make that satisfaction the ground of our intercession, because Christ's blood purchased this. Therefore, O Lord, grant this. Number two, to pray in his name is to pray from his command and according to his will, as when we send another in our name, we wish him to say thus, tell him that I desire such a thing of him and that I sent you. So it is here, and thus the phrase signifies, I am come in my Father's name, i.e. by his authority and command. John chapter 5 verse 43. To pray in Christ's name, therefore, is to pray according to the will of Christ, and from the will of Christ, when we take those words the Lord puts into our mouths, Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and desire those things only that the Lord commands to seek, whether absolutely or conditionally, according to his will revealed, and with submission to his will concealed. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. Psalm 27, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. If you ask anything not according to God's will, you come in your own name. He sent you not with any such message to the Father. Number three. To pray in his name is to pray for his ends, for the sake and use of Christ and glory of Christ. Thus the phrase is used, to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, i.e. for this end and reason, because he is a prophet. Matthew chapter 10 verses 41 through 42. A servant comes in his master's name to ask something of another. When he comes as from his command, so also for his master's use. So, when we pray for Christ's sake, i.e. for his ends, not our own, these ever prevail. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and have not, because you ask amiss, to spend it on your lusts. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28, and Psalms 145, verse 18. This is to ask in truth, to act for a spiritual end. To make it our utmost end ariseth from a special, peculiar, supernatural presence of the Spirit of life, and consequently a spirit of prayer which is ever heard. And hence you shall observe, the least groan for Christ's ends is always heard, because it is the groaning of the Spirit, because it is an act of spiritual life, the formality of which consists in this, that it is for God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. The Lord cannot deny what we pray for, Christ's ends, because then he should crush Christ's glory. And therefore, let a Christian observe, when he would have anything of God that concerns himself, not to be solicitous so much for the thing, as to gain favor and nearness to God, and a heart subject unto God in a humble contentedness, to be denied as well as to be heard, and he shall undoubtedly find the thing itself. A lust is properly such a desire, though for lawful things, wherein a man must have the thing because it pleaseth him, as when Rachel asked for children. She must have them, else she must needs die. Give us water that we may drink, was their brutish cry, Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. Not that we may live to him that gives it. Holy prayers or desires, opposed unto lusts, are such desires of the soul, left with God, with submission to his will, as may best please him. Now the Lord will hear the desires indeed of all that fear him, but not fulfill their lusts. These three are the essential properties of such prayer as is heard, or if you will, of that which is properly or spiritually prayed. Fervency and assurance, etc., are excellent ingredients, but yet the Lord may hear prayer without them. It is true, the Lord may sometimes not hear us presently, for our praying time is our sowing time. We must not look presently for the harvest. The Lord hears the prayer of the destitute, Psalm 102, verse 17. The original word is of the shrub or naked place of the desert, which the prophet saith, sees no good when good comes, Jeremiah 17, verse 6. Yet such as feel themselves such, the Lord doth regard them, and will have a time to answer them. And though the Lord may not give us the thing we pray for, nor so good a thing of the same kind, yet he ever gives us the end of our prayers. He that is at sea, and wants stiff winds to carry him to his port, yet hath no cause to complain if the Lord secretly carries him in by a strong current of the sea itself. And it is certain, at the end of all God's dealing with you, you shall then see how the Lord hath not failed to answer you in any one particular. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. O, therefore, see and be persuaded of this your privilege, that God will now hear every prayer, make many a question, or many make a question. How may we know when the Lord grants us any blessing as an answer to prayer? Many things are said to this purpose, but the simplicity and plainness of the answer lies in this. If it be a prayer, God hears it. If it be put up in Christ's name, then it is a prayer, and that you may believe this and glory in this. Consider these reasons to confirm this truth. When the promise of Christ is in this place, John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, which was a promise in special to be accomplished when he came to his kingdom. And therefore, though it is true that God's grace is free, and therefore you think the Lord may as well refuse to hear you as hear, yet consider that by his promise he hath bound himself to hear. From the fatherly disposition that is in God, John chapter 16, verses 26 through 27, and hence he loves us, and hence cannot but hear us. Because all prayers put up in Christ's name, Christ makes intercession that they may be heard, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He hath laid down his blood that all our prayers might be heard, as we have proved. And indeed, hence ariseth the infinite efficacy of prayer, because it is built upon that which is infinitely and eternally worthy. Because all prayers of the faithful arise from the spirit of prayer, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Because as that which is for the flesh is of the flesh, so that which is for the spirit or for the sake of Christ for spiritual ends is always of the spirit, John chapter 7, verse 18. Because of the glory of Christ, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Cannot Christ be glorified unless he hear all prayers? Yes, he could, but yet his will is to reveal his glory by this means, so that though thou and thy prayers be vile, and therefore deservest no acceptance or answer, yet remember that his glory is dear. It is the glory of kings to hear some requests and petitions, but they cannot hear nor answer all. It is the glory of Christ to hear all, because he is able, without the least dishonor to himself, thus to do. Oh, be persuaded of this, How should your joy then be full? How should you then delight to be oft with him? How would you then encourage all to come unto him? How would you then be constrained to do anything for him who is ready to do all for you? But, oh, woe unto our unbelief! For that which the apostle saith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, was ground of his confidence, that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us, is no ground to us. And we may say, and mourn to think, and this is our difference, that whatever I ask according to Christ's will, he hears me not. But, oh, recover from such a distrustful frame, and from all dead-heartedness in this duty withal, lest the Lord send taskmasters and double our bricks, and then we groan and sigh and cry and learn to pray that way that will not pray nor believe now. If the Lord will but give us hearts, assuredly you might not only rule yourselves and your families, but by the power of prayer, pull down and raise up kingdoms, dispose of the greatest affairs of the church, nay, of the world. You might hereby work wonders by means of him who, ruling all things, yet is overcome by prayer. Hosea chapter 12, verses 4 through 5.